whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Hello, friends. This is indeed In the Loop on a Tuesday. Yeah, I want to make sure that
Friends.
Yes.
Okay, Jim.
Yeah, I was like, look, man, I'm feeling the real if you can't tell today.
Oh, you got the Cougars.
I got
shirt
the Phi Slam Jamma shirt
right,
on.
Right.
Cougars won yesterday
all
against right. TCU. Like, I just, you know, I'm just in that mood.
It's
I'm in that mode.
Together now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd salute Jim Nance, Houston icon. But yeah, we're in the loop. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig here with you on this Tuesday. Texans Ticket Tuesday, by the way.
It is.
We giving away tickets.
You thought we was going to a playoff game?
To the playoffs, dog.
Playoffs. Meaningful football. And, you know, your friends at Sports Radio 610 got you covered.
I need to get some of those tickets, man. I ain't get no tickets all season.
12 o'clock hour.
Be listening, Figgy.
I tried to call.
Yeah.
12 o'clock hour. He said he tried call. You're the one controlling the phones. What you mean? Don't say that, by the way. I feel like legally there might be some sketchy ground that we're standing
on. By the way, not just any tickets. Bullpen tickets, baby.
Yep. Got you taken care of here in the loop. All day long, in fact. Giving tickets away all day long. You know, the Painted Penner Gas gave some away. You know that the drive will as well. But, you know, we got you covered. Also, you can get involved with the program, as always. YouTube's up. Sports Radio 610 there, Twitch 610 Houston, and of course the text line 713-572-4610. And generally, what's your excitement level for this matchup, for this game? Because I feel like there's a level of optimism that's creeping back in for me. While it's like a healthy,
maybe here
there's a healthy skepticism still.
Not but anywhere else.
I feel like there's a little bit of optimism creeping back in.
Intrigue more than anything. I don't know about excitement level optimism. Excited, of course, it's a playoff game, but optimism is sort of pretty flat right now. But intrigue is high. Intrigue is high because
I should have expected the word man to come with. He's like, optimism doesn't quite define it. If I'm going to go by dictionary definition, intrigue is the right word
for me because Texans, like, this is often thrown around, but it's true here. They're getting no respect, like no respect, zero. Less than zero in some circles. And so the intrigue is, how are they going to respond to that? Will they respond to it? The old, bulletin board material, all that stuff. Does it matter? Does it not matter? Et cetera. So there's a lot of intrigue on how this team, and also intrigue in some of the faces, some of the ways that this team's going to play, you know, because we did get a very, very brief glimpse of what the Texans we thought they could be this year in the last game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big hopes that you have in that Week 18 matchup, a matchup that didn't matter, really. But you wanted to hope that you could recapture some of the better portions of what you could do, particularly offensively, but some of the better portions of your capabilities, show that you still have that in a bag and that you can bring that club out when needed, and go and knock down the shot, right? To use the golf metaphor. And in this instance, like, now you are stepping up. Like, this is no longer the driving range. You are on the tee box. Can you get
it
done?
Big difference from the driving range to the tee box.
Very true. Very true. Especially because, like, yeah, man, this gets a lot more difficult. But I want to circle back into, like, the zero respect. Because I've been interested in seeing how many people have been talking about this game and the ways they're talking about this game. And so let's do this. In my estimation, I was like, let's check in and see just how nationally people view this team. And I feel like we can start with the man who has been the most boisterous about this, and honestly and frankly the most disrespectful about this. Y'all know about Rex Ryan?
Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like he was already situated perfectly for television as a dude. Like, that Ryan family in general just got they don't have a lot of give a damn, feels like. Like, they just kind of move to the beat of their own drum, which I appreciate, mind you, because I feel like in sports we don't have enough of those characters, especially like as coaches, and as we've beaten and media trained it out of folks. And for some reasons, I'm sure that's good, like especially for leagues and liabilities, but for like just entertainment value, we haven't done that to a great place. But here comes Rex Ryan with some of that old school value, and he directed that at the Houston Texans most recently.
Chargers wind up the 5 seed. They're going to Houston. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, I never realized the Chargers got a bye. Did they qualify for a bye? But they did, because they're playing Houston.
Man. That is right between the eyes.
I mean, damn.
That is right between the eyes.
YouTube says y'all don't believe in them neither. I got questions.
Who said that?
I said
intrigue. I believe I used the word intrigue.
I was the one who said I have a little optimism. I think that there's capabilities.
I think they got a chance.
There's a possibility in there.
I think they got a chance.
It's always about execution. But like, yeah, I mean, they haven't done that frequently, but it was nice to see, and I understand one drive, right? But it was nice to see one drive of them going and doing some of these things. But yeah, man, there's generally a level of doubt, and that's really high on the doubt of them. But how about this when it comes to audio? Can you give me Matt Hasselbeck? This is Matt Hasselbeck breaking down this particular matchup with all the Texans versus the Chargers.
They're not a team like ascending. I think the Chargers defense is way better than people realize. They're a team to reckon with, probably in the second round of the playoffs. I don't know if the Texans can protect CJ Stroud the way they need to.
That's, to me, that's the takeaway.
Circle of wagons, man. That's what this is all about. It's zero respect. It's not made up. It's not an imaginary chip on your shoulder, as teams are want to do. This is real. Like there's no respect for this team, no expectation for the Texans to win, and that's where the intrigue for me comes in. Because to use your golf metaphor, and this is one that I've used often over the years, our listeners have heard me say this, you know, you're as good as your best golf shot. You know, you may only hit three of them in an 18-hole round, but you're as good as that. It's just a matter of can you dial it up again? Can you dial it up consistently?
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say is what actually makes you good is how consistently you can do that. I feel like the allure of golf, or really like the siren song of golf, is that in any given round of 18, pretty much any level of golfer, unless you're absolutely putrid, will have at least one of those.
We golf heavy.
One of them shots.
In the first 7 minutes. The
comeback. Yeah. We there, baby.
The comeback shot is what I call them.
Yeah.
Makes you come back and play again.
Exactly. You have one of them shots where you're like, damn, if I could just do that consistently.
Yeah.
Which very much feels like the Texans this year,
Figgy's
right?
Uncomfortable, by the way. He's not a
I don't know what y'all talking
about. You ain't never swung the clubs? Not never?
Never.
We got to get you out to like Top Golf.
Hey, I ain't even watched golf when Tiger was playing, man.
Wow. That is crazy.
I wasn't into it, man. I couldn't get into it, man.
Like that was a public sports story rather than just like even a golf story at that point. You really telling me that Tiger?
You didn't watch Tiger?
Sunday in the red.
I tried to, but just wasn't my thing.
Okay, I mean, look, some things aren't for everybody. I get it.
I know who Tiger is, and I know the story, all that stuff. I know how dominant he is, but I just wasn't a golf person, man.
Yeah.
I do some tennis.
All about tennis.
At least you got one country club sport. I respect that. But I did appreciate at least that Matt Hasselbeck was like trying to bring some analysis as opposed to Rex Ryan, who was just like burying the Texans just to do it. Like he was doing full morning show TV thing. What did you think of his like actual assessment of it, right? Talk about this Chargers defense. I know that the big thing that immediately people talk about with this Chargers defense is the scoring, right? Like they are the best scoring defense. But as we know, like in sport, in football, the scoring defense, like allowing the scores is not necessarily a full indication of how good you are defensively. And there's different metrics that you can look at that maybe would tell you that might be overhyped. He's saying that they are actually better than they are being given credit for in that regard.
I could appreciate it because it's not just scoring defense. We've talked a lot about, you know, their edge rushers against your tackles, and that's something that they can do and bring pressure. Look, I think what they can do is they can make you make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, the boys in the morning were talking about this as well, you know, the two high safeties. I don't know if anybody does it better than the Chargers either. So that's another thing that they can do quite well.
Yeah. I keep looking at just like the, and you know me, EPA success rate ended up being like the things that I check most frequently. And just this defensively, they're not standout in that way. But the thing that keeps coming back, I know D'Amico Ryan said this yesterday, just well-coached, man. This is a supremely well-coached team. And they have, like, some of the big players. You talked about the defensive line, the big one that D'Amico was talking about. In fact, I probably should play this audio here to just hear how excited he was talking about him. But is Derwin James, right? Like, the way that he comes around, the ways in which he shows up, right? Like, I think he was talking about how, you know, you have to, you know, account for him in the box whenever he is on the field. If he gets close to the box, you have to account for him because he comes with that physicality. It gets into the backfield, those types of things, but also can range. And I do wonder, like, I remember when D'Amico was saying that, I was thinking to myself, is that going to pose a particular problem for this offense where they have to maybe max protect a little bit more? Because I think we did see more of that down the stretch as this team was trying to account for the fact that the offensive line, you know, pass protection was a struggle, where they kept some more people in, and that had fewer people in routes, and maybe that allows you, or that does not allow you, to do as much down the field or passing the football as you typically want when you have fewer guys in routes and more, you know, more coverage capabilities for the defense.
Look, Derwin James is a true X factor. He's part linebacker, part safety, part, you know, X. You know, put him where you want. And that is absolutely something that the Texans have to account for. But the Texans, you know, getting back to how we started this, like, no respect, no, you know, everybody pretty much chalking this up as a W to for the Chargers. I mean, are we too close? I mean, is it that obvious? Because keep in mind, Super Bowl odds come out after going into the postseason. Texans are either last or tied for last in terms of Super Bowl odds. In terms of like power ratings of the playoff teams, like, three major outlets have that I saw, there could be more, have the Texans DFL, you know, dead last.
I was like, well, it doesn't help that my brain thought DHL, and I was like, what does logistics have to do with anything?
DFL, my bad. Let's call it dead last. In fact, one of those outlets used this quote for the Texans, quote, a lifeless shell of itself.
Damn. And this is one of the things that was the two-edged sword about the way that the schedule fell, right? Mm-hmm. Early on in the season, when we had, you know, high hopes and aspirations for C.J. Stroud in year two for, like, possibly even contending for MVP, what did we talk about? We talked about that last part of the schedule where you're playing these big teams and there's going to be a lot of visibility, and it gives you an opportunity to bolster narrative cases about you.
Yeah.
Well, when you're playing poor football, or at least not as good football as you should be playing, those national television opportunities can put it to a negative perspective where now you are looking bad. And buddy, when you lay a stinker and you only put up 2 points, like, I think that also, like, has cut the other way, where teams, I mean, people look real negatively at this team. But the defense has a level of respect, and it should have a level of respect. The offense is I think the one that teams are looking at in a negative way, and I think
a lifeless shell of itself.
Yeah,
I mean, that's as bad as Rex Ryan, you know. And,
yeah,
and these are the pundits that are handicapping the field here as we get into the play. Even Justin Herbert, and I don't know if he meant to take a shot, but it could be kind of interpreted that way. He was asked about, you know, watching the Steelers and how he was reacting to that, and listen to what he said.
Did you get a chance to watch the end of the Steelers game yesterday?
No, I kind of followed along. You know, I was meeting and watching film, but I heard it in the other room, so I could tell that, you know, good things were happening, I guess.
Good things were happening? In other words, we get to face the Texans?
And we were talking about this yesterday. I thought you made a good point, right? At the very least, that might have been more about we don't have to face the Ravens immediately, which
that's how I kind of look.
Fair play, right? Like,
but that means you get to face the Texans.
That is right. That is right. And that is the way that a lot of teams have operated this. Yeah, man, if anything, I hope that this level of, I guess, disrespect, if we want to put it that, I mean, if you, I think there is some fair things, like, to point to with some of the doubt in this team. I mean, we have had our doubts, respected doubts, on this particular show. But yeah, man, you hope that at least some of this disrespect, if you wish to call it that, at least goes to motivation for these dudes.
Yes.
Because as D'Amico Ryans has pointed to a lot of times, and I think he is right in some regards with this, right? A lot of the Texas issues are interior or internal, right? It's not the idea that, oh, you, this team is just outright better than you. Sometimes, like, hey, these are things that you can do and that you can handle up to help make yourself better. And maybe there's a level of pride or anger or what have you that gets you to that place where you go, no, we are going to sustain blocks. We are going to make sure that we tackle and stay disciplined and make sure that we prove that, hey, man, y'all were wrong about us. Like, sometimes the strongest motivating factor is an opportunity to see egg on somebody else's face.
Yes.
And maybe that'll do something for these Houston Texans.
Yeah, and even D'Amico Ryans, he wasn't taking a shot at his own team by any stretch, but he was saying, let's erase everything yesterday live right here on our show. How many different ways did he say, we got to focus on now? You know, the past is the past. We're, you know, it's about what we, you know, what we can do this time. You know, basically saying, all right, you know, we know what the story was, but it's a new story now.
All right. do you, I mean, we've talked about kind of how some other people nationally or, you know, media folks care about or are viewing this game.
Mm-hmm.
You care at all about Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, he is one of the better defensive players in this league, plays for the Cowboys, but also he fashions himself or fancies himself a media personality. He's got his podcast or whatever. And he had a prediction for this particular wild card game.
Matchup, Chargers-Texans, I'm going with the Chargers. I think the Chargers have the most momentum going into this, you know, this game. Their defense been playing lights out. You know, you look at it, Justin Herbert's been playing great. I just think, you know, like Texans, another team who's battled injuries. But I think the Chargers are going to win this game. I'm going to take Chargers.
Yeah, and, you know, that one did kind of resonate with me as just another you know, outlet, if you will, in this case, Micah Parsons, that really just doesn't see it happening for the Texans, because Micah's friends, like really good friends, with C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
You know, he likes the Texans and he respects the Texans, but he's like, nah, man.
Yeah, I mean, what he said was kind of true, though. Yeah. I think the Chargers do have the most momentum in this game.
Ooh.
Yeah, they do, though.
Yeah, man. I mean, all we got is that first drive from Tennessee.
Yeah,
that's the momentum right there, because we can't count the last two games.
No, I mean, absolutely. The two games prior to that, yeah, no, for sure.
Nah,
yeah.
We can't count those.
No, I absolutely feel you in that regard. So I don't. And there's a lot of people that are doubting, and I feel you, right? From the 832, the doubt is justified, but I see the Texans' issues, a lot of injury and fatigue, and they're going to this game fresh and at home. Okay, so that does that count as a positive text that came in? Is that can I put that
absolutely,
in?
Absolutely.
I think that's a positive.
If someone else mentioning that, you know, the rest of the league might as well have started a "We Want Houston" chant. Yeah, man, that this is the place that you are, and you've got to hope that the Texans find like something deep within themselves that drive them to say we're going to push against that, because that's what's going to be necessary.
How do you feel about bulletin board material, like actually being a factor?
I mean, as a dude who frequently goes towards like numbers and stuff, I think that it's probably over, like,
and you're not a momentum guy.
I am not. Yeah. I think that it's probably over, overplayed, like, talked probably a little bit too much about. However, I cannot deny that whatever motivates people. And especially like in sports, these dudes are built different. Like we spent a whole year, if not more, fawning over Michael Jordan in the 10-part documentary where basically he was fabricating motivation out of nowhere. And everybody was like, well, see, that is how you become great. Right? Yeah. Like, I do think that there is something to be said for the fact that these things motivate these guys, and these guys find the motivation where they need to. And maybe this is the motivation that's necessary for these Texans to like start playing the best football that they've played this year.
Yeah, I think it depends where the motivation come from, the bulletin board material come from. I think if it come from like a team or something like that, or some players from the other team, then I think that kind of can juice it up a little bit. But I don't know if they looking at ESPN and saying, look what Rex Ryan said about y'all. Let's show him.
And I'm kind of between both of you. I do think momentum in certain instances can be a real thing. But I also feel like this bulletin board material in certain instances can be a real thing. It sounds crazy to say, oh, they'll be more focused. Man, it's the playoffs. You got to be focused anyway.
Correct.
But at the same time, I think there is a certain amount of extra in there. Yeah, I don't know what it is. If it's in meetings, if it's on the field, if it's in practice, whatever. I think sometimes that little something gets people a little extra, whether it's push or focus or something.
I think that happened last year, man, in the playoffs, because ain't nobody give the Texans a chance to win against the number one defense in the league.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And they went out there and whooped that ass.
Yeah, they did.
So, it seems like people are rallying around with the notion of the underdog Texans. And I kind of like it, man. Like, if you're going to have an opportunity. And this is what sports is about, right?
Yeah.
Like,
why it's intriguing.
Yes. How many movies have we seen about the underdog coming up beating the team that is favored? Now, of course, usually those are like David and Goliath stories. I don't think that you could paint this one as that. But
Texans are the little giants.
All right. Sure. Why not? you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Tuesday. We're going to have B. Scott in at 11 o'clock hour. But coming up next, the coaching carousel has not stopped. More things going on, including could this team possibly trade their coach? We'll talk about it next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston,
Let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Atitula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 60.
No, don't horns. Don't put them horns in there. How you gonna do me like that, Figgy? That's crazy. Yes, this is In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 60.
Man, Figgy chose violence.
That's unnecessary.
What did I do?
What you mean, what did I do? Like, you don't know what you did. I'm usually good about the number. The one time I mess it up, that goes in the intro.
The people got it.
Three.
That's crazy, bro.
Leave it. Don't change a thing.
I bet you would. Okay, let's start putting some Lopez mess
ups. Where do you begin?
In the intro.
Oh, yeah.
That's where do you
crazy.
Begin?
Yeah. That is the number to text, by the way. 713-572-4610. If you want to get in on the show, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We will be giving away tickets in the 12 o'clock hour. Appreciate you rocking with us. And by the way, of course, those tickets to the playoff game, the wild card game at NRG Stadium versus the Chargers. They're in the bullpen. They're really good tickets. And we do it for you. We do it for the people. Man, I'm hurt.
Oh, come on,
he's
man.
Visibly man, shaken.
That's man. I thought it was funny.
Okay. Put in one of my screw ups of the many that you have. Just let me know.
Yeah. All right. New
let
intro.
Let me go file a live read real quick.
That's crazy, Lopez. No, new intro, yay or nay?
Don't do that. That's money, baby.
How we feeling about the intro additions? Let me know on the text line. Also,
it's John Lopez with Ability.
Oh, wow. 832 said, I think Figgy took it light on you. Okay, so they want man. More. That's man. Crazy. Okay. All right. I see how it is. Man, coaching carousel continues on in the NFL. As recently as a few minutes ago, we're getting more things in the NFL sphere when it comes to hiring and firing. Now, some of them not coaching. And the most recent one, I guess it speaks somewhat to the coaching situation in the AFC South as Rand Carthon, general manager of the Tennessee Titans, no longer is he that, as he has been relieved of his duties just 2 years after taking the role of general manager. I think he also got executive VP or something like that for this season. But yeah, they basically got out here and said, hey man, this team has not progressed enough. I think that was the Titans president and CEO, Burke Nihil, I'm guessing. I'm mm-hmm. probably saying that name incorrect. Apologies.
Where Amy Adams at?
That
man?
Is a great yeah. question. But apparently he said, we just haven't improved this football team for the last couple of years, won 9 of the 34 games that have been played over the last 2 years. And as much as the record was concerning to Amy.
Oh, there you go.
There's an Amy.
Oh, there she go. There speaking, she go.
As it was to no, all of our fans. Her assessment was also that we're not on course to get where we need to go.
Oh, you're talking forward. For Amy now.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking
yeah.
for Amy.
Yeah, she in the car.
Yep.
She's right here.
She left before she trying to beat the traffic.
What's
she
sure Amy? Did. Oh, okay. I'll tell him.
Which, by
she
the way,
was definitely trying to beat the traffic.
By the way, on what traffic? Saturday, y'all saw that stadium yeah. on Sunday.
Wasn't
but no traffic.
It was like 250 people, man.
Tops. Tops.
It was about 150 Texans fans.
That's right.
Hey, they have no clue what they're doing in Tennessee.
They do not.
Like nothing. And it makes me smile. It does make me smile because it starts at the top from that woman that is now
Amy
hiding.
Adams, where the hell are you? Hey, what you hiding for?
She's not hiding when they're putting all that Oilers crap up there. How come she's hiding
Oh,
now?
She was hiding on Sunday.
Yeah. Apparently.
Did she leave early?
That was
according to Jeffrey Simmons, she didn't talk to the team before or after in the ways that she typically does. So, yeah, I don't know if she
and
left
she got
early.
A damn game ball the last time these two played.
Yeah.
Couldn't show her face. That's tough. But yeah, no.
Get your ass out of here. Yeah.
What I found interesting about this, the Titans are one of those positions where you're like, hey, watch this space mm-hmm. in this particular coaching carousel. I understand Brian Callahan just got that job. They have not said anything about firing him. You fire the GM before you fire the head coach. And I do wonder, like, is that a vote of confidence? Does that mean that they're going to empower Brian Callahan more when it comes to personnel decisions? Because the only thing that I've seen in regards to their general manager mm-hmm. position is that they're going to moving forward. They're going to look for somebody who has been a scout and who has that background. And I was like, wasn't Rand Carthon in the personnel department yeah. in San Francisco for a good long time? That's probably the reason why you brought him in. It does feel like they are just wayward and flailing.
They don't know what they're doing. And it's good for the Texans. It's good for us. And it makes me smile, like I said. But he's the guy that hired Callahan. So that's not a vote of confidence. That is not a vote of confidence. What it does smack of is a lot of politicking inside the building. Well, look, you know, I just couldn't get along with him, or Carthon saying something similar, or like, you know, I think there's a lot of infighting, a lot of backstabbing, a lot of politicking going on in that building. And by the way, you know, they're drafting a new franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a light little thing that they're doing.
And they got Mike Vrabel. Like
they got Vrabel fired?
It was under his watch that they got rid of Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that organization, not in a good place. It feels like the AFC South might still be just continuing to set things up so that the Texans can remain atop this division. And we appreciate y'all for it. In fact, let me do a little bit of extra on the text line. I feel like we're going to establish the In the Loop consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
And we will sell our services to the Titans in this way, from the 8-2. Tennessee should definitely hire Jack Easterby.
Yes, I agree.
We will put in a good recommendation for you. Go ahead and hire that man, see mm-hmm. what happens. Some other things that happened around the coaching carousel. I did mention this, and this is something that I've been perplexed by since I heard of it on Sunday. Jay Glazer, who you know works for Fox, one of those NFL insiders that seemingly has connections to everyone in the business, he was talking about the possibility of Kevin O'Connell, the Minnesota Vikings head mm-hmm. coach, obviously play caller, he's done such a great job with that team. The possibility that being the surprise of the year, that because multiple teams are considering trying to trade for O'Connell, supposedly he's entering the final year of his deal, and he doesn't have an extension just yet. The two sides have not had contract talks yet. And so NBC Sports is saying that the Vikings have no internal plans of entertaining those things. However, like, that's a wild situation, right?
I think, you know, of course they're going to say that right now in the midst of the postseason and everything. But I think it's credible. I really do think it's credible. And he's got leverage now, big time, man, not just because of the record that they have, but because of this as well. And I think it would be smart. I think it would be smart. It wouldn't be the first time.
To trade?
Yeah.
So, wow. I mean, the Vikings, I mean, unfortunately, they are a wild card team for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they were 14-win wild card team.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to go ahead and trade that man away for some draft picks?
They're going to sign them to a extension.
No, I think it's smart to go after him.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the other way. There's no way you let him go,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, nah, he ain't going nowhere.
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's smart to go after him because those are you want to get some good draft picks, trade for a coach or trade your coach.
But he got to agree to it though, right?
He's got to agree to it. But his contract is up.
Well, he's got one more year.
Yeah, but pretty much up. I mean, they want to extend him or they want to trade him.
And he is standing there with a bag and a weapon.
And like, oh, by the
ready
way,
to, he's about to run the mask. Yes.
And oh, by the way, look at it from his perspective. And this is the first place I went. You know, he's got a big decision to make at the quarterback position, as they do. And does he? What kind of confidence does he have, you know, in McCarthy? And what kind of confidence does he have in them signing Darnold? I think, you know, he got a little bit of leverage here for sure.
That's interesting. I'm going to continue to watch that space. Yeah. But yeah, that's wild that apparently there's a possibility that a dude who's likely to be the coach of the year mm-hmm. this year could possibly be at another job. Now, of course, Jay Glazer's really good with these things, but that just feels so far-fetched. Some other coaching carousel things. Apparently the Chicago Bears, who, I don't know, do you feel like that's one of the better jobs? Because I know that they have Caleb Williams, but they're also the Chicago Bears with all the things that entails.
I do think it's one of the better jobs because of the quarterback.
All right, well, they're
and that always matters.
They're talking in such a way where it feels like that, because who is probably the most coveted of the head coaching candidates in this cycle?
Ben Johnson.
Well, when it comes to Ben Johnson, supposedly we've had multiple reports by like ESPN and NFL Network that apparently Johnson doesn't interview well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Chicago Bears have had questions about his ability to lead, which I think there's a fair question to ask, especially when you mm-hmm. get one, a younger coordinator, but two, somebody who has, you know, just been a coordinator and you're hiring kind of for that schematic advantage. Can they do the coaching, the actual being somebody else's boss part of the job?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently the Chicago Bears asked Ben Johnson to offer them a leadership plan, while other candidates, they were just being asked for a quarterback plan. Because obviously, making sure that Caleb Williams develops is probably objective one.
Yeah.
They're going out of their way to make it abundantly clear they have questions about his leadership.
Are you a leader of men?
Is that going to stop Ben Johnson from getting a good job in this?
No. in a word, no. Because I think he's been so good, they're just going to try to craft him, mold him into becoming something more than just an X's and O's guy.
Yeah, so a few wild things to see in the coaching carousel. There's all sorts of things happening. Probably the biggest and most recent development is that the Tennessee Titans fired their general manager, Rand Carthon.
Coach Prime tweeted right away.
He sure did. Do you think?
Oh, I'd love it. I'd hate it, but I'd love it.
You'll love what?
Having
Coach, the announcement on Rand Carthon being fired, he goes, wow, all caps. He tweeted right away.
The idea maybe being
they have the number one pick.
Number one pick, you get the Sanders.
I mean, which
Sanders
son,
duo?
Oh, he would draft son? Sanders. He would draft his son.
You sure?
Which son?
Kind of.
Man,
I mean, Travis Hunter is a son too.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like,
he love him a little more.
I was about to say, Travis Hunter was a son. He got to choose, right? With all due respect. So yeah, man, that's
him and his girlfriend gonna be up in Nashville.
Oh boy, we not doing all that. Oh goodness. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. More about the coaching carousel when we go around the NFL at 11 with Brandon Scott. But coming up next, let's go to the question of the day: who is the most insecure athlete in sports? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. We'll talk about it next. Let's get into our question of the day here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Who's the most insecure player in sports? Let us know on the text line, 713-572-4610. As this is inspired by beef amongst some NBA legends. And I can say that word very comfortably and confidently. Because Shaquille O'Neal, easily, I mean, that's a Hall of Famer right there. Dwight Howard, also a Hall of Famer right there. And, you know, I think there's probably a lot of people that still have some affinity for him in this city because he was very good for the Rockets. Unfortunately, like, it didn't quite work out the way that you wanted to, but he was very good. Of late, those two have been beef. Actually, not of late. For a long time, those dudes have been beefing back and forth, but the beef has escalated once again. And Dwight Howard, who was on a podcast, was talking about their kind of back and forth. And he said he never wanted to be Shaq on any level, which you ain't got to lie to us, dude.
Yeah.
But he's, I mean, he was out here calling himself Superman and all that. We know what it was. But he said that he never disrespected Shaq. And he was, you know, he's even tried to reach out and all these things. But he said that, you know, Shaq just always has something to say and all those types of things. And then Shaq, of course, recently came back and tweeted at Dwight saying, "The fact that you care, that you think I care about you is funny, but I won't ever bring your name up again. Sensitive big man, a jokester that can't take a joke," which, my goodness, Shaquille O'Neal, do you think we don't know who you are?
Is he looking in a mirror?
Brother, you think we don't know who you are?
Yeah.
Like, Shaq can't take a joke, man. Like, Shaq is the dude who, have you ever had a friend that you've joked back and forth with and then they just go too far because you can tell they get a little hurt? Like, that's Shaq. Shaq is like, you say, "Yo, mama," he's like, "But that's why your daddy's dead." Like, it's too far.
Leave my father alive. That's right. Leave my father alive.
Yeah, they take it there real quickly. Yeah. 0 to 60.
And it's funny because inside the NBA, that's why I like Chuck will joke with you all day long.
And Chuck will take jokes too.
Yeah, he understands it. But as soon as you start talking about basketball, Shaq got to bring up the rings and all. It's just like, come on, man.
That's
all
right. That's Shaq. And then Dwight Howard himself. Dwight Howard, I think he might be insecure. It feels like he's in that space.
Oh, for sure.
Like how he handled Stan Van Gundy, that was all very awkward. Yeah. He never wanted to be seen as a villain of sorts. And also, I think the biggest thing with him is he just played too much. It just feels like
he kind of like a big kid,
very big kid. But both of these guys showing off a little bit of insecure in these moments, and that made me think, who is the most insecure player?
You know, the first three that popped into mind have no reason to be insecure. Like, they should be the most secure people on the planet. Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Kevin Durant.
Correct.
And LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron.
Oh, he's insecure. He's absolutely reading the first page of a book and acting like he read the whole book and, you know, lying and trying to make himself look good. Why does LeBron James have to make himself look better? He's already awesome.
Yeah. Honestly, I think even some of the comments, like when he won that bubble championship.
Yeah.
And he was just like, "Oh yeah, this one was the hardest one to win." It's just like, you ain't got to explain
yourself.
Or the
in-season last year.
Yeah, like, you ain't got to explain yourself. Like, why do this one, the 2021, got to be the hardest championship had to win?
Because you have to validate your work. The in-season tournament, we got to remember, like, that's just him being a good NBA partner.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sure.
He's like, "Hey, man, the NBA is trying to make this be a thing. So me, as an ambassador for the NBA, I need to make sure that it means a lot to the people."
But think about it. Durant, Aaron Rodgers, and LeBron. Like, those were the first three that popped in my head. Correct. Incredibly insecure.
Yeah, Durant comes up a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah.
You have the burners and all those things. It's funny because as Durant became a little bit more nonchalant, I think he's become significantly more likable. I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, no, I actually became a fan of him recently, man. Just how he, I feel like he's one of us.
Yeah.
Like, just be on the internet scrolling like everybody else. He had talked to a random ass account and just be like, man, what did you do? But I kind of like it.
Yeah. Because I'll never forgive him. Do you remember when he was early on in Oklahoma City and he was still just goody two shoes, Kevin Durant, just playing for a small team and playing really well? And people were like, you know what? He needs a nickname. Slim Reaper. And I was like, that is so tough. And he was like, I don't want to be the Slim Reaper. I think you guys should call me the Servant. And I was like, ooh.
God, I forgot about that.
This man. Aaron Rodgers is up here. Mm-hmm. And I like just the I don't even know how to begin with it. Like, I think we all understand that Aaron Rodgers might be the answer for me.
Mm-hmm. He might be. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers is clearly incredibly insecure and you know, acting like he knows more than everybody and not and getting facts wrong on a lot of things and all this other stuff. Texter 620, what's the 620? Says Dion might be one. Amy Adams Strunk, not an athlete, but very insecure.
Very insecure. We were just talking about that, like about the continued use of the Titans, the Oilers kind of iconography. And Figgy, you actually got a little bit of a hot take about that.
Yeah, man. I feel like they should keep those uniforms because I mean, they look fly. Don't get me wrong, but I think those uniforms are cursed. Like, everything bad that happened in this city when it comes to that team happened in those uniforms.
Well, not keep it everything, away. Everything. Texans have had a few bad moments.
Yeah, name one.
24-3.
Name another one.
No, my thing is, it's not much of, to me, fighting over those jerseys and stuff. Like, to me, just go on and keep them, man. It wasn't like we won championships in those jerseys, man.
Absolutely.
Went to championships, though. Like, hey, man, this, you can say it's cursed, but it's our cursed stuff, man. Give it back. That's my,
it looked fly.
That's the thing is, like, you were, and I think you got to a point where you were like, hey, If y'all like it so much, y'all should just go ahead and
Go buy the Tennessee Oilers.
But I'm like, they don't even care that much about it. They're just being haters. That's why I'm
they
like,
just
hey.
They see somebody want their toy, so now they want to play with the
that's
toy.
That's exactly what it is.
Jerry Jones.
Yes,
I could see that
because the reason why he is lighting his franchise on fire for all this time is that he wants to be front center.
He needs
this attention.
Yeah, another one. This one more of a lower tier, but remember the Honey Badger.
Yes, very much so.
We kind of dealt with that personally.
Yes, very much
he got me blocked on Twitter.
Yeah, he would search his name on Twitter. Not not like, you know, being tagged. His actual
He would type in Teron Matthews.
Yes.
And see what people saying, and he will say something and block them.
Yeah, one of the things I've always felt about that is, like, I think sometimes we're a little hard on players in some regards, because I think sometimes when we're like, oh, you search your name, it's like people are snitch tagging.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, you see what they said about you?
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain instances where, I mean, you
can listeners would never do that.
Buddy. Which, by the way, PSA, stop snitch tagging. they'll find it if they need to. But there are some instances where you could tell, like, oh, this person is absolutely going and looking. This person cares so much.
He is one of them.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I know exactly what I tweeted when he blocked me too, man. It wasn't even nothing crazy.
We'll be the judge of that. What'd you tweet?
This was around free agency, and I want to say the Chiefs signed Justin Reed.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, damn, Honey Badger gone. because I'm like, they signed another safety, so they not resigning him back.
Blocked.
Yep, next thing you know, I tried to go to his tweet because he was one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
I tried to get him on my podcast at one point.
Yeah.
Somebody, not after that tweet.
Somebody said Deshaun Watson. I don't know if he's insecure as much as he's just a fraud.
He's oblivious.
Yeah, he's a fraud.
That is one thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was not.
I don't think he was at one point.
He might be too secure.
I think right now.
Like, he thinks he's it, you know?
Yeah. That was a good question that came up on the YouTube. Who are the least insecure or who are the most
secure? It might be Deshaun Watson. He thinks he is it, man.
Yeah.
He's just a fraud.
That's the thing. He is still keep posting and all that stuff, man.
By the way, that Achilles looked pretty good in that TikTok, man. You see that?
Nope. Setback, baby. There was a setback. Don't expect him to play. And get ready for that 2027. That is when
he was dancing.
That contract is set to be perfectly situated for the Browns to cut him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're finally, their long nightmare of the worst trade and worst contract of all time will be over. But not until 2027. Enjoy that, Browns. Hold that. Tom Herman, good answer.
Oh, yes. Very good answer.
Good answer. Russell Westbrook is one up there.
I was going to say Russell. Yep.
I feel like he's actually pretty secure. Just when he feels like he got to say something, he's very ornery.
Yeah.
He's just very ornery. And somebody said Steph Curry is the most secure. Possibly. I can see it. I can see it.
But in a good way.
And you know what? James Harden probably very secure in a bad way.
Yeah. Overestimating his own.
He's definitely secure.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, it was like, hey, man, we doing this my way or I'm not.
What's that Angel Reese? I don't know if I agree with that. I think she's just sort of, maybe.
Someone said that.
Secure or insecure?
Insecure. Angel Reese?
I could kind of see that.
Yeah. I guess it depends.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think she insecure like about her game or nothing like that. But I guess she pick and chooses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel I like know. Anybody who was like a major topic of, you know, conversation for a point in time, like she was pursuant to Caitlin Clark. Yeah, I think that gets you to be real focused on those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get back to the football of it all. We'll welcome in our guy, Brandon Scott, as we often do in the 11 o'clock hour on a Tuesday, and go around the NFL, including the Chargers. Made a big addition ahead of this wild card matchup. We'll talk about that more next.